From the Health and Wealth Desk at KBIA, I'm Jacob Fenston. A small town on the bluffs above the Mississippi River, Herculaneum, Missouri, was always a company town.
The company town, I mean, the whistle blew for the start of each shift. The whistle blew at noon.
It would blow at 1. It would blow at 3. Everybody kind of lived by it.
The company is called Doe Run.
This town was built basically by Doe Run.
Doe Run's business is lead.
They all want to keep talking about lead, but we're talking about a combination of lead, cadmium, zinc, sulfur, sulfuric acid. Those are scary words.
Back in 1978, the Clean Air Act set a national standard for how much lead in the air was safe to breathe. But the smelter here in Herculaneum didn't meet that standard for 25 years. Lead from the plant building up in neighbors' yards and homes, playgrounds and schools, and in the blood of children.
Lead to me and children, you might as well give them arsenic. I mean, it's just so tragic. Every organ in our body can be impacted by lead.
Somebody explain to me when these kids are not going to be exposed anymore. That's all we're after.
The battles over contamination turned this town on its head, pitting neighbor against neighbor, uprooting and bulldozing the center of town. It all culminated with a storm of lawsuits. One of them, against the Environmental Protection Agency, forced the federal government to revise the National Air Pollution Standard for lead, tightening it by a factor of 10. Now unable to meet the new tough standard, Doe Run is finally closing up shop here. The last primary lead smelter in the United States will be dismantled at the end of next year.
Personally, it was like a kick in the stomach.
That's city administrator Jim Kasten. He says without Doe Run, the schools will be short $500,000 in revenue. The water and sewer district will lose a quarter of its budget.
You know, the biggest concern and the biggest bummer for this whole thing for me is the 270-something people that work there and their jobs and their families and how that's going to affect them and how that ripple effects comes down.
In June, Doe Run made it final. They won't be rebuilding here with a new, cleaner plant. That would be an unacceptable financial risk.
I just wanted to be able to say, ha, you didn't win. We got them. They're still here. But I guess they did win.
This is the story of a decade-long battle between angry parents, government regulators, environmentalists, and the largest lead producer in North America. It begins on an August night in 2001.
All the trucks traveled this road.
Most of the time.
And there was the dust was on the sides of the streets here, both sides.
Jack and Leslie Warden are showing me around their old neighborhood, blocks from the Doe Run plant. This is where they raised their son. But in the late 90s, they started wondering how safe it was. For one thing, there was this thick dust on the streets where the trucks drove in from the lead mines.
Jack Warden had been telling me about lead dust on our dust coming from trucks on the roads, and that wasn't something we'd really considered.
Dave Mosby worked for the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. After a community meeting in Herculaneum one night, Jack convinced him to take a look at the dust on the streets outside.
We went out with him late at night, and I could see, even by the street lamp, that it was likely to be contaminated with heavy metals. It had a metallic luster. Yeah.
This is what the contamination on the streets was.
Warden is holding up a small glass jar. This is from the dust sample he and Dave Mosby took that night 11 years ago.
I don't like getting it anywhere on the house.
It looks kind of like pencil dust, like if you sharpen a pencil.
This was all over. It covered the sidewalk in areas. Kids would ride their bicycle down the street, and they'd see that dust. Well, they'd lock the brakes up, slide the back tire around on the bicycle. Dust would just go flying. And that's what they were breathing, 30% lead.
300,000 parts per million lead, as I recall. That's 30% lead, pure lead.
We begged and begged and begged, and Jack strong-armed poor Dave Mosby into doing that test. But when the tests come out, were we happy about it? We cried. We cried. 30% lead. Our kids were playing it. It still gets me. You know, it wasn't good news.
But it did lead to action. the Department of Natural Resources issued a cease and desist order, and soon federal health officials got involved.
We tested all the kids that lived in that first quarter mile, half mile, three-fourths mile.
Denise Jordan is Aguirre with the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. That's part of the Centers for Disease Control. In 2001, the agency worked with state and local health officials to try to test every kid under six for lead in their blood. The results, she says, weren't exactly surprising.
I think we were all appalled. Not surprised, appalled that it was this bad.
They laid out the results like a bullseye, concentric circles of contamination radiating out from the Doe Run smelter. Within a quarter mile, 56% of kids had high levels of lead in their blood. At a half mile, it was 52%. Jordan Izaguirre says she'd never seen numbers like that, except in the developing world.
But it was tragic to see in the United States on a company that was under EPA and MDNR.
Another study found a cluster of people with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, a fatal neurological disorder. There were three cases within a three-mile radius of the smelter. That's triple the expected rate. But Jordan Izaguirre says it was too small of a sample to really provide any answers.
Yes, it appeared that there were elevated number of ALS, but I couldn't do anything for those people that we talked to who had it. It was nothing. And I couldn't say a lot to the family except sort of kind of share in their grieving.
My name's Donna Lovelace. My husband was Kenny Lovelace.
Kenny Lovelace put in 18 years at Doe Run. He was a maintenance man in the center plant.
The center plant was, I always was told that it was the dirtiest place in the plant.
In 1988, Doe Run was fined for 177 health violations at the plant, accused of breaking virtually every section of the workplace lead standard. That was about the same time Lovelace started getting these strange symptoms.
Weakness in his arms, legs. He did fall several times, and he was working a lot of overtime, and, you know, we just kind of chalked it up to him being tired and overworked.
A neurologist told them he had lead poisoning, but his symptoms kept getting worse. Finally, around 1993, Lovelace was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. He passed away 7 years later at age 35.
I truly believe that the lead poisoning is what caused his illness. I feel that if he had not been working there, he would still be here.
Deep down, you know that the lead didn't help your health none.
Lawrence Casey. His family has been in Herculaneum since the smelter opened in the early 1890s.
About three generations of us that moved here and lived here and worked here.
Now, Casey is one of the last holdouts here in the center of town. In 2002, Doe Run and state and federal regulators decided it was easier to get rid of the people than the pollution. The company agreed to buy out the 160 homes closest to the smelter.
The prices they offered was not comparable to prices around the Herculaneum area. You couldn't buy nothing for what they was offering.
But most people did sell. The houses were bulldozed, and today the old neighborhood looks kind of like a private park, an unobtrusive fence, and little signs reading Doe Run, no trespassing, lead contamination. But the buyout wasn't the end of the story. Around that same time in 2002, Doe Run met the Clean Air Act lead standard for the first time ever since it was set in 1978.
Doe Run had lowered their production.
Leslie Warden again.
They had done the yard remediation. They were sweeping the streets. They were washing the trucks. They were, you know, going through all of this dog and pony show.
But even though the air was meeting federal standards, it was still recontaminating people's yards with lead. Warden took the question to Maxine Lapellis at Washington University's Environmental Law Clinic.
If they're meeting the air standard and we're seeing this kind of recontamination, is there a problem with the air standard? And we determined that that was a superb question.
By law, the EPA is required to review the lead air standard every 5 years to make sure it matches up with current science on public health. But Lapellis discovered the agency had never completed a full review. She filed a lawsuit against the EPA in 2004. 4 years later, the agency released a new national lead standard. It was 10 times more restrictive than the old one. Doe Run agreed to close the smelter rather than trying to meet the new standard. Dana Skelly with the EPA.
It was a business decision on Doe Run's part to shut down the smelter in December of of 2013.
So why did all this take 30-something years? Kathleen Logan Smith with the Missouri Coalition for the Environment says environmental laws don't work how most people think.
Most people assume that pollution standards are like speed limits. You know, it's 65, you're over 65, you're breaking the law, you get a ticket or some kind of penalty. But environmental standards don't actually work that way.
So it's not like you have to meet this number or you get hit by this regulatory hammer.
Dave Mosby, who worked for the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. It's DNR's job to sit down with polluters and design a plan to meet national air standards. So Doe Run kept making these plans, then taking all the steps they said they would in the plan, but still managing to exceed Clean Air Act limits.
They met what they said they would do, but it just didn't work. The way it's written is you have to do these things that should get you in compliance. But if they're wrong, then there wasn't an additional stick that you could, you know, force them to meet that number, other than to renegotiate. So there was just a series of these things because they could never meet it.
Now, the future here after Doe Run is still a big question mark.
Supply and demand. Do we have someone ready to sign the dotted line right now?
Developer Stacy Hasty. His group wants to buy the old smelter site by the river. Over the next few years, they plan to clean up the lead and build a port and commerce park.
We already have identified 2 to 4 end users for the port, which is outstanding at this point in time. And, you know, we're being told, build it. When we see it, there's a lot more to come after that.
In the meantime, Herculaneum is already changing. Real estate's cheap, and St. Louis is just a 30-mile commute.
Fairly good value, cheaper homes down here, so that's why we came down here.
Mike Watson moved here a few years ago. Tonight, he's at a Cub Scout meet with his kids.
Two kids. One, Tristan, who's going to be 9 August, and then about a year and a half old, Sean.
We're standing in a park about a half mile from the smelter, the smokestack poking above the trees. But Watson moved here after all the fighting with the EPA, DNR, and Doe Run. He says he's not worried about lead exposure.
I really haven't seen concern. I mean, obviously you don't see lead or anything like that, but I don't really feel that it's a big of a problem as people, you know, make it out to be.
As old-timers move away and newcomers move in, the town is growing out toward the freeway. Car dealerships, gas stations, fast food restaurants. The center of gravity is shifting away from the river and the smelter's towering smokestack.
It's something that you didn't think would ever be gone.
Mayor Bill Haggard.
And now it's you kind of want to see it gone. I want to see what it looks like. The river setting out there, what this looks like without smokestacks sticking up.
As the town struggles to replace lost jobs and revenue, at least people will be breathing better. Closing the smelter will mean 30 tons of lead and more than 100,000 tons of carbon dioxide that won't be in the air each year. From the Health and Wealth Desk, I'm Jacob Fenston.